Selling with love is I want to provide the best service for you. And if it's not the best service for you, I'm going to tell you where you can get the best service.
Plug into the minds of the world's cutting-edge innovators, visionaries, and thought leaders who are rewriting the rules of sales and success. It's your time to make an impact. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast. Welcome back, everybody, to the Selling with Love podcast. Now, this episode is going to be a little different than the past ones because it's actually a part two from a previous conversation that I had with the one and only Dr. John Gray. So I'm going to suggest for anybody who might be tuning in, you would have such a great context of the conversation if you go back into the previous conversation that I was having with Dr. Gray just a few weeks back, where we were talking about men, women, sales, workplace, and all the juicy details that go behind the scenes of making that happen in today's modern society. We felt like we ran short on time, and we ended the interview in a chuckle saying that we need to have a part two, and this is it. We want to go deeper into the subject, talk about some of the controversies around what is it, the differences and similarities around men and women, both in sales, the workplace, and also understanding some of the nuances that happen when it's women selling to women or any other dynamic that happens in the sales world, so that we can be better equipped, learn some of the nuances, and maybe see where some of our assumptions might be challenged at the same time. And now, introduction gets done quite properly on the first episode, but I do want to remind that we have the legendary Dr. John Gray, the man who wrote the series of books, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, and so many other books related on the topic of understanding how do we behave in relationships, in the workplace, and living on this planet together. And it's such an honor to have you come back. Dr. John Gray, how are you doing?
Hey, doing good. Happy to talk to you again.
Yeah, well, I guess we had a good time last time. I mean, we ran out of time, and I think we had a meeting right after, and we're both like, the topic isn't done. And I wanted to kind of kick off on some of the feedback I got from the last episode, particularly speaking around, I want to jump right into it, because where we left off was where we talked about how women are constantly testing. Women are always looking for little clues on how we're doing the little things, while men oftentimes are thinking about the bigger things. And it was so interesting on social media to see some people going, yep, we're always testing. That's true. It happens on a subconscious level. But I also had a large portion of the audience saying, no, we're not always testing. That seems so trivial. And that seems like a dated idea of how we behave. And I'm sure you've encountered this kind of dichotomy in your own audience. So I'd be curious to know what's going on there.
Well, what happens is as women take on roles that men traditionally had, they make male hormones. And when they're making male hormones, they're not connecting to their female hormones. So they're more subconscious. So they're not aware of that part of them. So many women who are more on their masculine side, they don't relate to any of the things we say about women. Because, you know, that's not me. So that's not them. And that's a reality. Is when I talk about men in business and men in sales, I talked about this. When a man has a big sale, he's going to have more fear around it. And so you need to treat him a bit like you'd want to treat a woman, okay, which we talked about in the last thing. You want to build trust in a certain way. So we know that basically, I can be in an audience of women. I say, how many women experience concern if you're walking to your car at night? And some women are fear. And most of the women will raise their hand. There'll be some who go, I don't care. I'm a tough woman. I can do whatever I want. And you can ask men, how many men feel fear? And some men will raise their hand, but most will go, I don't experience fear all the time. I certainly don't. It doesn't even enter my awareness where I'm afraid somebody's going to attack me or whatever. It just doesn't, it's not my life experience. But women, biologically, historically, are very vulnerable to men doing things to them, danger happening, just put it like that. So there's a hormone that when a woman is in touch with, these are my terms, in touch with her female side, biologically it means she's producing more estrogen. And women biologically, if they're not stressed, okay, if a woman's not stressed, she's going to be making, on average, 10 times more estrogen than a man. Estrogen, whenever we have the emotion, positive emotions or negative emotions, there's a surge of estrogen. So it's a vulnerability. And some women today just aren't in touch with their vulnerability, and usually they're single. Vulnerability not only says, I could be hurt, I need support, but it also says, I appreciate, I'm grateful, I'm happy, You know, to be happy is a very vulnerable thing to be happy. And to let someone make you happy is the most vulnerable. Because if somebody can make you happy, then they can make you unhappy by withholding what they did to make you happy. So this is what women are. They are more sensitive. They are more vulnerable biologically if they're in tune with a hormonal balance, which is healthy for women. Some women have a hormonal balance, which is not healthy. And this is proven. We know that when women are infertile, for example, which now we have about 30% of women who are infertile, they're not making enough estrogen. I mean, think about that being an imbalance where you can't even do what your body's designed to do, whether you want to do it or not. You should be able to make a baby up to a certain age. So when you can't, that's a huge red flag. Something's wrong. I don't like to make people wrong. You have choices and whatever. I'm not saying every woman are all the same. They're not. But there's certain things that are biologically destiny for women and certain things that are biological destiny for a man. Anytime a man is angry, he's having a surge of estrogen, not testosterone. And most people think, oh, testosterone, it's male hormones are bad. No, male hormones are the best thing going. Is anytime a man has sufficient male hormones, he doesn't have a stress level. Anytime a man is stressed, his estrogen is going up. Most people don't know that. So we have to have a clarity about hormones for between men and women. There's times when there's an old saying, which I like to say because there's so much truth in it, although it pushes a lot of people's buttons, which is in China. There's an old saying, I've taught a lot in China and studied there in all the countries, but there's a saying which a man, not a child, a man should never cry unless his heart is broken. There's a reality there. You know, when my wife died of cancer, I cried for 2 years almost all the time. And that was what I had to do because it was such an attachment I had with her. It's a tear. And so that causes a surge of estrogen inside of me because my testosterone sinks because I'm powerless to bring her back. Anytime a person feels powerless, their testosterone goes down. That's why you'll see that most of the romance in the movies throughout history and all the novels, the romance occurs when a woman feels powerless and a man saves her. See, these are realities. These are biological realities. And you can invent your reality you want. And if it's working for you, I say fine. But people come to me because they want better relationships. There's challenges. And they found that these insights that I provide, suddenly it makes sense. It's like, a countless number of women who've approached me saying, you know, finally I'm married, my relationship's working. Two people just today told me it just happens all the time because I learned through you how to connect with my female side instead of being the man. But when you say this, you have to define what it means to, quote, be the man. Well, anytime you're doing behaviors that are stimulating more testosterone than estrogen, you're, in a sense, being the man. And so one of those behaviors would be pursuing, for example. Pursuing a man, women who are on their male side, who are single, and I talk to a lot of them, they'll say, you know, why is it I don't have a man in my life? And I say, well, tell me about your relationships with men. And they pursue the men that they want to be with, as opposed to create a situation where the man they'd want to be with could pursue her. This doesn't mean be a wallflower like was done in the past. Women would display themselves and men would pursue to a certain extent. You know, we're empowered women today. You can assert yourself, but assert yourself in a way that motivates a man to pursue you. Because when men are pursuing, they're making male hormones. If you pursue a man, it will make female hormones in him, and men do not bond with estrogen. Estrogen is a bonding hormone, but men bond when they experience an estrogen response from a woman. He does something that's significant or meaningful for her, and she feels, oh, gratitude, appreciation, she feels trust. The men are coming like flies. This is why young women are often more appealing to men. Older you get, women say, oh, you know, all the good men are taken. There's plenty of good men out there, but they're just not approaching her because when you're a younger woman, typically what that means hormonally is your estrogen levels will be much higher. You also don't have the level of confidence that you'll gain as you age. You know, confidence is a good thing, but it's also a testosterone producer. You have to balance that. This is a discernment. Confidence, look what I can do, is testosterone. Assuredness, feeling worthy, look what I deserve. You mean I don't have to work hard to get love and support. I don't have to give more to get more. I just have to be myself. I'm worthy of it without having to earn it. I guess that's the main thing I'm saying, is that it's very important to build your masculinity, create male hormones. And women do need to make male hormones. It's just, it's so easy for them to make male hormones. They can easily go overboard making male hormones. Whenever a woman is stressed, her body automatically makes more male hormones. It's just automatic. And the way we can put this in terms of our psychological experience for women who feel like, I don't relate to any of this stuff. Well, maybe it's some word I say or whatever. But take an example where you're in a relationship with a man and you feel that he's neglecting you. You feel he doesn't show affection. He doesn't listen. He's not pursuing me. He neglects me in some way. I'm not getting his affection, attention, understanding, caring, respect, you know, the whole line of various things that people need. So if she feels I can't depend on him to do that, it could be I can't depend on him to empty the trash. So what's her reaction? I'll just do it myself. And that feeling of I just do it myself is going to your what we call the male side, because when you do it yourself, you make testosterone. When it's we time, when we're doing it together or he's doing it for me, this is biology. When you're depending on someone for help, estrogen goes up. And your well-being, your stress level, if you're a woman, goes down. Typically for men, it doesn't lower your stress to raise your estrogen up. It does, you know, the ultimate. And, you know, I don't want people to get the wrong idea. It's not this extreme. I have a female side. I have a male side. I will be spending time with my granddaughter tomorrow. And I'm an amazing grandfather. I'm an amazing parent. It's the thing my wife loved most about me is how dedicated I am to nurturing my family and caring for them and prioritizing them. That's my female side and my male side combined. You see, there's a balance there. If I'm providing for them, when we go on vacations, it's kind of funny. That's the hardest work I have because I have to tend to them the whole time. You know, it's not so much a vacation for me. I go fishing with my friends or go play basketball with the guys, you know, I'm not responsible for them. That's my vacation. I call that cave time. But when I'm with my family, I'm like totally there for them. And my wife of 32 years said this to me, my wife now, I got married again. They both say, you know, you are so generous. You're the most generous person I've ever met. You're so giving, you're so loving, you're so attentive, you're so supportive. And I say, no. You know, you think of me as totally selfless. I'm completely selfish. I'm probably the most selfish person you ever met in relationships. I know that if I do this and this and this and this, I'm going to have a happy wife. I'm going to have children that love me and are happy and fulfilled in their life. See, I understand what it takes to provide a kind of support that balances a woman's hormones. Because if a woman's hormones are in balance, she will be happy and I can take credit for it. She will want to have sex with me. That's a big deal. You know, so many men complain, you know, my wife's just not into sex. You know, she's lost her interest in sex. I feel like I have to beg for it. I have to convince her. I have to do things to get it. I also have to do things to get it, but it's easy because I know what works. When you have what works, you have to do certain things if you're a man, if you want a wife to be attracted to you, to sustain attraction for you. And I counsel women all the time who are not attracted to their husbands. And in every case, it's their husband is producing too many female hormones. He's passive. He gets angry about stuff. He gets irritable about stuff. He forgets stuff. He neglects things. He grumbles about stuff. And men don't realize that when you do those things, you're on your female side without your male side being strong. Whenever a man has negative emotions, negative feelings, his estrogen levels are really high, his testosterone's going down. There are situations where you can't change that, like when my wife died. You know, I had a couple of days, I had a business partner who died. And so the emotions will come up. That's appropriate. That's the grieving process. But I process it. I use my male side to understand it, to process it. And that's a whole nother talk, how to do that. Written whole books on how do you have a negative emotion and move through it. For women particularly need to process their emotions. Now, a lot of those women go, I don't have time to talk. I don't want to talk to my husband. My husband talks too much. And I go, yeah, he's on his female side because he can't connect with you because you're on your male side. But women need to learn how to be vulnerable. To be vulnerable is to share what's inside of you. Men do not need to be so vulnerable. And when they are, women get sick of them very quickly. And there's some women go, oh, but I love a man who'll share his feelings. I say, are you married to that man? Yeah, some guy out there sharing his feelings with you. But when you're married to somebody, when you're depending on that person, you do not want him to be all emotional about his sadness and his bad moods and his fears and his insecurity. You don't want to hear that. You see, if it's some stranger out there, oh man, in touch with his feelings, tears up, he's so sweet. Now, at the same time, I have to say, a man shouldn't cry. That's the Chinese statement. I cry all the time of joy and happiness or sentimental feelings. Maybe every day I think about something reminds me of my wife and how special our marriage was. A few tears will come down. But it's not like I'm in pain. I feel the joy of how much I love her. It just connects me to that feeling of love, which is a lot of estrogen. And so, but I have enough testosterone so that I'm not a victim. I'm not feeling needy. I'm not feeling angry. I'm not feeling hurt. You know, there's a thing where men, you can't go around saying, I feel hurt when you say that to me. Women can do that, but not men. You have to have a certain level of groundedness and strength.
I want to jump in here because first off, we've covered a lot of that first question. And that's what I love about our conversation is I'm always like in an observer. And, you know, we are on the Selling with Love podcast. And for those listening, we're definitely leaning into the love side, but I'm so interested in this topic because I always pick up something in our chat here. And one of the things I wanted to kind of shift the conversation to is how we talked about women leaning more into the masculine side, men being a little more on the feminine side. And I'm wondering if there's like a chicken or an egg situation that we should be paying attention to, because it seems to me like there's a lot of the women that are stepping into the masculine side almost as a response to the fact that not as many men are there being men. They're kind of acting more like boys in general. And I don't know if that's a phenomenon.
That's the egg, but not the chicken. I mean, it's chicken and egg, which is, I mean, who created this change? Women decided they wanted to be more like men. When women decide they want to be more like men, men basically don't have the motivation to be like men. See, what motivated men was women needed us. Testosterone only rises up when you're taking care of someone who needs you. When you're needed, I have to do this, whether I want to do it or I don't want to do it, testosterone goes up. We're designed for that as men. Throughout history, for thousands of years, we have done the dirty jobs, the dangerous jobs, the difficult jobs, the risky jobs, and we did it with a smile on our face and we didn't complain. Because when we do something we have to do to serve a noble purpose, whether we like it or not, that is testosterone. Now, women are now doing dirty, dangerous, difficult jobs, whether they like it or not, and they resent it after they do it for a while. You know, they resent it. They complain about it, oh, I have to do this, I have to do this, or they don't complain about it, but they feel overwhelmed. They don't have the breaks that men have. They don't have the resources to come back to feeling good that men have, the way men do it. If I have a stressful day, I can just put on the news or I can watch a movie and I forget all my problems. For women, my wife would watch the news. There's more problems to worry about. You know, it's just from my experience, this is other people's problems that I don't have to solve. And if I was in charge of their life, I would know better. Or watch a football game for a guy. He's constantly being the coach. No, don't do this. You should do this. Or the team is winning. We're winning. If the team's losing, he's losing. It's a bummer for him. But these things take him away from his own problems. And we have this foolishness. I like a lot of things that are taught in psychology, but there's a lot of foolishness because they don't acknowledge that men and women are different. When I'm stressed, I don't need to talk about my feelings. I need to do something that will build my testosterone. If I talk about my feelings, my estrogen goes higher, and that doesn't release stress for men. When estrogen goes higher, his testosterone goes lower. It causes cortisol. I can't really say it causes cortisol because we can't ever say anything causes anything these days. But we do know that whenever a man is producing stress hormones, he's also not producing enough testosterone. And generally, he's producing way too much estrogen. That's what's going on. And to me, it's so obvious. And for women, when she's stressed, when her body is making the hormone cortisol, guess what is always the case? Her testosterone is rising, her estrogen is going down, or her progesterone is going down as her testosterone goes up at a different time of the month. So for women, they're going through a monthly cycle. Men go through a cycle every day. You know, ours is you act, you work, you build your testosterone through working, but you also use it up. You relax after working. That's cave time. Any type of relaxing testosterone-producing activity will rebuild his testosterone. So it's you time working for people, coming back to working for me, and then it's we time, then you come back to your relationship. So there's kind of a cycle there. For a young man, it's more just you time, me time. But as you mature as a man, your fulfillment is limited if you're not sharing what you've produced with somebody else. And that's maturity in men. Usually men grow up when they have a kid. That's about it. Otherwise, they're all Peter Pans today.
Well, you know, I'm living here in Bali, and that's definitely an island of Peter Pan, never ever land.
That's right. Oh, you can see it.
Yeah, I see it every day. And John, you know what's funny is like when I hear what you're saying, and of course, coming in, like I'm a man, I'm listening from this as a male perspective, and everything you're saying right now, I'm just like nodding my head. I'm like, yeah, this seems to make sense. I think of my fiance, and every time that she's in their most relaxed state, and every time we're both feeling really happy, it's usually related to things you're talking about right now. But I can't help but have a sense that as you're sharing this, there's a little voice at the back of my head saying like, oh, we can't say stuff like that today. It's taboo. Why is that taboo? When, because like you're not coming up with this because of an intuition, like you're quoting research that's been done on this.
This is 55 years of working with men and women, seeing what works in their relationships. And anybody who disagrees with this stuff, look at their relationship. Are they happily married for many, many years? Is there a model for you to follow here? And you'll see so many couples who are, you know, these are more conservative ideas. It's a conservative idea that men and women are different. And the liberal ideas is, look, I'm a liberal. All I care about is helping people and everything. I always voted liberal. So what it is there was this place, I just have to give examples. I was talking to a man the other day, and he had the same little thing behind him, which is, can we really say this? Is it okay to say this? It seems kind of harsh or bad or sexist to say this. And he told me, he said, you know, when he's a grown man, but he said, when I was a teenager, I felt like we all had a male and female side. And wouldn't we all get along if we just didn't acknowledge differences at all? And I said, that's a nice thought. We're all the same. This is utopian idealistic ideas. It's the same thing as DEI, which is everybody gets paid the same.
Wait, what's DEI? I don't even know that acronym.
Oh, that's, don't even know to go there then. Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Got it. Got it.
It all sounds good. It sounds good. Shouldn't we love everybody? That's diversity. But now you're hiring black people, not white people. Is that fair? So there's an idea there and lots of logic behind. That's called the diversity. Equity is that everybody should make the same amount. Now, let's say I sell more cars than you sell. We should still get the same amount. That's what equity is. Everybody makes the same amount. And inclusion is that will make everybody feel included. Everybody gets to be a part of the show equally. So if you do a TV show, you have to have this many black people, this many white people, this many gay people, this many trans people. Everybody gets the same. And this is some idealistic idea, because truly, as liberals, wouldn't it be great if everybody felt loved and supported? Well, this was Mao. You know, I was just talking to my Chinese friend who bows to the picture of Mao every day. Her mother does. And she goes, why does she love Mao so much? Because Mao killed all the rich people so the poor people would have abundance. That's what happened. People don't know the Chinese Revolution, 50 million people died. They killed all the intelligent people. Anybody who had abundance and financial support or smart, get rid of those people who are all the higher ups. And now we're all the same. We're all poor. And then the result was all the poor people did not get rich. The company crashed until they brought in Western ideas of capitalism. And then the company flourished. And then when they take away, now they've been taking away capitalism and they're going heavy into the communistic ideas, the economy's going down again. What motivates a man is I can have more than you. That's what motivates. Why should I be motivated to work hard if you don't work hard and you get paid the same? I'll just think, well, hey, if you can get away with it, I'll do the same. And what I talk about in terms of relationships, I got a little bit too far out there and social structure, but the masculine side of us doesn't do anything unless you have to do it. This is a biological thing. It's an efficiency gene that we have, and women don't have that gene. They don't understand it. And so why? Because what women do is they do whatever they can, and then they feel overwhelmed. They give and they give and they give, and then they complain, my husband doesn't give to me. My husband doesn't give to me. And so she can't like regulate efficiently, at least when I say she can't. She can, but she doesn't know how to if she's unhappy. Okay, remember, that's what I'm saying. If you're a happy woman, you figured it out. But most women today, their stress levels are measurable by studies. If you look at averages, a woman in the workplace, her cortisol levels are twice as high as the average man. And when she comes home, her cortisol levels from work to home double. Men's goes down after coming home from work. We are much better at how to regulate our stress levels if we are more traditional conservative men. If we're more liberal, we've been taught by the universities, which are extremely liberal, and they have these utopian ideas that we should all be the same, then they're being taught men should be just like women, and we're no difference, and we should talk about our feelings. And so then women go, what's my husband feeling? And maybe in the beginning, amazing, he has a female side. I get to know what's inside of him. And then he continues to share more, and then she gets disgusted by it. And literally, I hear women tell me all the time, I'm sick of it. My husband talking about his feelings, he's talking all the time. We don't have time for that. It's a turnoff when men are more feminine than they are masculine. Now, there are some people, if we're getting into this broad range, which are born with a more of a balance of masculine and feminine. Okay, so they have within them, and usually they're geniuses, if they're males, they have more connective tissue between the left and right hemispheres of the brain, which means they can easily go from female to male. You can look at these people, and they typically, they're your best writers, best politicians, and best artists and musicians. I read a book on the famous lives of artists, musicians, and politicians, famous, and they all have tortured sex lives. It's called The Sex Lives of All These People. They're very tortured because they're confused about their male and female side. They can go from the female side or the male side. It can be very, very confusing. They're not consciously doing it. They're like a pendulum that swings over to their male side, and they're very creative. They're very disciplined. They produce something amazing. And that creative part is because they're connected to their female side. But when a man goes way to his male side, then he will swing way to the female side, and he will have depression and anxiety and become a drug addict. Almost all famous writers, and still today, Hollywood writers, all those people are on drugs. They all take cocaine. There may be exceptions to this, but my knowledge of it. Rock and roll stars, we know these amazing guys up there. They all take drugs.
Well, where you're going right now, here's some people I'm thinking about, like Freddie Mercury, Karl Lagerfeld. A lot of these artsy people, like this is the people that are operating at a level of mastery that have this kind of more integrated side. These are the people we're talking about here.
Yeah, yeah. That creative power you'll also see in the lives of artists. There's this torture. There's this challenge in relationships. And what happens is they swing to their male side, then they go to their female side, and they have no masculinity at that time. The emotions are irrational, and they're turbulent, and they're upset. And then to cope with that, they have addictions. Whenever you have an addiction, if you're a man, it's because your male side is weak. Whenever your male side is weak, you go to, instead of doing what you have to do, that's masculinity, to achieve your goals, to be a responsible person, to be worthy of love, all those things, what you have to do. When you don't have role models or support to feel confident that I can follow through, then what happens is you go to not what I have to do, but what I like to do. I like to do it. See, this was the 60s for me. I remember a rock song that really put me in a trance, which was do what you like, do what you like, do what you like. You know, no longer did you have to get married, have sex, free sex if you feel it, take drugs, do whatever you like. And do what you like was really fun in the beginning, but then it crashed. You crash down, you weaken. And fortunately for me, I had a good role model. I learned how to meditate. I became the assistant to the Maharishi of the TM movement, and a great man who was making a difference in the world. Certainly he had his faults, but a role model for me of how to be masculine. And you don't whine, you don't complain, you don't get upset about stuff. You suck it up, the stuff that they tell you in psychology you should never do. Women should never do it. Men have to learn to suck it up.
I have to make the segue here just to bring it back to sales. And I think this is the perfect time to do it is in my book on Selling with Love, I speak about a certain type of salesperson that's highly effective, but they don't give a shit about the results of who they sell to. And I kind of make a nod to the Wolf of Wall Street type and the whole industry there, where there seems to be that correlation with addiction around high sales performance, high stress environments. Is there something related to what you're sharing there that can be seen in these high intensity sales position where you're seeing the douchebag salesperson, Wall Street, manipulative sales type of environment?
So the best sell, selling with love, is I want to provide the best service for you. And if it's not the best service for you, I'm going to tell you where you can get the best service. See, that's what you have to do if you want to sell with love. And that's always going to win out the best. Somebody recently referred me to somebody else. And, you know, in my mind, I did go to somebody else. I didn't go to that person. But if I could recommend that person for anything, I would do that. And they stuck out in my mind. Oh, you gave it what a sell. That's highly respectable from my point of view. He knew what I was wanting was not something he could offer. Somebody else could do better. That is the opposite of the Wall Street guy. That all comes from a place of insecurity, self-hatred. You don't love yourself. You don't have confidence that I can get it. So suddenly I have to go to my female side. And this is what those guys are on their female side. Their lives are built with doing what they like to do, what they want to do. They're not caring about other people. They're not doing what they have to do to be a good person, to have virtue, values. You know, what are your virtues? What are your values as a man? What makes you feel good? And you stick to that regardless. They don't have that. So what they have, when you don't stand up for your values as a man, you have insecurity. Your testosterone levels will be low. You will then seek happiness and fulfillment by being selfish. Do what you like. Do what you want. Be above the law. And if you want to go further with that, the whole, you know, I've read so many books and everything about spirituality and also the Satanist books. The whole theme, Aleister Crowley, every chapter of his book, he's the main Satanist in our modern world. It's the rule of Satanists is do what thy wilt. Do whatever you want. You can do anything. It's fine. Follow your pleasure. You know, even when it comes to sex, we've lost ourselves with men, you know, losing their testosterone by doing non-intimate sex. Impersonal sex only lowers a man's testosterone and disconnects him from his soul. Having sex with yourself, having sex with online strangers, this just depletes a man and will continually lower his testosterone. And you get addicted to it. Let me define masculine and female side just by what hormones. When you feel independent, I can do this myself, you're making testosterone. That's one of the symptoms of testosterone. I can do it myself. When you're making estrogen, is I'm depending on you. I need you to do something for me. And that's your manipulative salesperson. You know, I need you to think like I think. And, you know, sociopaths can be amazing salespeople because you just can't imagine that this person is pushing this on me and it's not a good thing for me. You just couldn't imagine it. I've been, in my younger years, been ripped off so many times because I couldn't imagine that somebody would be trying to trick me. My wife always said about me, John's an innocent. He may make mistakes, but he's an innocent. He's always sincere. You know, I just want to help. I want to provide. I want to protect. And when I make mistakes, I do feel bad, but immediately I forgive myself because I didn't mean to do that. If you want good relationships, you have to be really good at forgiving yourself, and then you can forgive others. That's the whole premise. And in terms of sales, if you live a life where you forgive yourself because you're innocent, you find your innocence, I don't mean to do that, and you practice not doing the mistakes you make, what would mistake be, for example, I get angry and yell at my wife. Oh my God, I should never do that. I don't ever want to do that again. And I stopped because I understood, one, scary to her. She can't open up to me. And two, it's not good for me. Whenever a man is angry, he's having a flare of estrogen. You can see it. People think anger is testosterone in men. No, you see, so one of the ways I got that awareness is men who take testosterone, already they have low testosterone. Okay. Then when they take testosterone, if the testosterone goes above the normal limit and goes up, the body produces a hormone called, I forget the name of it right now, but it makes a hormone that converts the testosterone into estrogen, and that's called road rage. The testosterone goes too far, it will convert. You know, your body's always seeking balance. So it's a conversion thing, converting testosterone into estrogen.
Oh, is it the aromatase overexpression?
Yes, it's aromatase. Yeah, you did it right there, aromatase.
There you go. Okay, that's so crazy. You read my mind because I was just about to say, wait, but what about like steroids and people that are tell to be over aggressive when they're on steroids, but
first of all, they're not making testosterone. They're having to take testosterone. So already that's a sign of psychological insecurity. Okay. Because when you have psychological confidence, you make tons of testosterone. So if you look back at the basic of the brain for a man, we have a sex center back in our instincts. Because the biology is run by the instincts, okay? When I cut my arm, I don't do anything to heal. It's the instincts. Your body has so much that's going on that we have no idea about. You know, we could never figure it out to do. So if you look at the instinctive part of the brain, for a man, it's twice as big as a woman when it comes to the sex part. Okay, but the sex is where it's pure instinctive. So for women, for a certain extent, I love that some women will be offended by this, but I don't mean to offend. But generally speaking, a man's experience is that women are not that interested in sex and we have to convince them. There are exceptions, without a doubt, there are exceptions. But I'm just thinking of other TV shows I've been on where there was some very masculine woman and says, well, I want sex too. I'm just like a man. I said, hey, that's great. That's just not all of our experience as men. And then you get the woman who's 40 years old or 45 years old, and her husband is no longer interested in her sexually. His testosterone levels have crashed for a lot of reasons, but lack of a woman's responsiveness in sex can lower a man's testosterone hugely. A woman's responsiveness and even interest in sex raises a man's testosterone. What you can see is when a man goes on and does porn, immediately he gets an erection until that wears out. But it's just simply naked women. What's the message a naked woman gives is that you're the alpha male. This is a primitive part of the brain. It's like a monkey in a monkey tribe. The alpha male makes, his body makes twice as much testosterone as all the other male monkeys because he is the alpha. Now, when he dies, one of those betas, low testosterone guys, gets in a fight. He now becomes number one. And as soon as he has the status of king of the tribe, his testosterone levels double. First the status, then the doubling of testosterone. A woman being interested in a male raises his status. Status does cause women to be interested in you. There's no question about that. Some women will say, I remember having a girl at Stanford getting all mad at me in one of the classes I was teaching. You know, she said, I don't believe any of these differences. It's all nonsense. And I said, look, do you plan on getting married someday? And she goes, I don't know. But if you were to get married and you told your parents, hey, mom, good news, I'm getting married. What are your parents going to say?
What does he do for a living?
That's exactly right. Of course, of course. And she said, my parents aren't going to say that because I don't care what he does for a living. I'll have love. Are you like insane? You know, and I watched all the girls that weren't wearing all the trashy clothes, trashy meaning sloppy, not caring how she looks. The pretty girls in the class going, I want to make sure he's got a job. See, this is femininity. Femininity is attracted to a man who has something to offer her. Okay, so this is, if we want to deny gender differences, we'll go, oh, I don't care if a man has something to give to me. I know true love. I'll just love him. Yes, you'll love him until you resent him because you'll feel I'm giving more than him. And a man will become lazy. He'll become angry. He'll become irritable. He'll become addicted to things, going to his female side in a relationship with a woman if she is more masculine than him. And this comes back to what you were saying, the chicken and egg. Where did this start? It all started this huge, wonderful transformation we're going through. Right now, it's like remodeling your house. It's very messy for a while, and then it gets beautiful. The beautiful part is for men to be able to become even more masculine so that they can also become more sensitive. It's only when a man can become more masculine that he can actually feel more sensitive. If he's just sensitive, his testosterone will just go down. He has to have a higher level of confidence that I make a difference. Then he can also be on his emotional side more, which is great. I'm way on my emotional side, but I have a status. I have a confidence. I have a self-esteem. You know, all this stuff holds my testosterone up. Biologically, I tested. I'm 50% higher than when I was a young man. And, you know, a lot of that has to do with my success. Of course, that's a part of it. Having self-confidence, having validate yourself, not depending on anybody else. But it's also, I know the big secret is making love. I mean, I have great sex. Men need to feel extremely successful in the bedroom. You cannot feel successful in the bedroom if your wife is not feeling cared for, prioritized, able to share, feeling safe, all those qualities of femininity for her to be turned on to him. So I mentioned briefly about the woman who says, you know, she's now in her 40s, her husband's not interested in sex. And she says, I'm the one who wants sex. I want sex. And I say, yeah, test how much lubrication there is in your vagina. She wants to feel the way she felt when he was pursuing her. She wants him to have that feeling, but she didn't even know what the feeling is that turns a man on. Because if she did, he would be turned on to her. These guys, if you can't get a rise and a woman is turned on to you and not demanding and loving you because of what she sees in you, you'll get an erection. Literally, the vagina talks to the penis. There's a clear communication and it all happens through smell. women, when their vagina is wet and they're feeling aroused, they put out a smell. And a man has two little nose inside of this nose, two flaps. And those flaps, their only job is to give him an erection because he smells estrogen. That's it. That's why men are turned on by young women so easily, because they make so much estrogen. And as women make less estrogen, unless she has a mindset and a relationship that can raise her estrogen up, a man can't be turned on to her. And if a man doesn't have testosterone, a woman can't be turned on to him, or it's very hard for her. She can say, I want to have sex, but is her body really putting out the hormones that I'm in the mood for sex? I'm pre-orgasmic. And then you've got the other side of it, which is the importance of education, educating men and women on all of the foreplay experiences, what we have to do in order. Everything about foreplay, as well as romantic times outside the bedroom, are all designed to raise a woman's estrogen so she will be interested in having sex with him. Now, women can say, oh, that's not me. I'm interested in sex all the time. Okay, that's a different kind of interest in sex. That's called addiction to your clitoris. So many women today are addicted to their clitoris. What people don't realize is when you stimulate the clitoris, you're making testosterone. Now, that's a quick way to produce arousal, but it's a different kind of arousal than if you feel your estrogen is high. This is the biological balance of a woman over 30 days is as she's getting closer to ovulation, her estrogen levels will peak, okay? When her estrogen levels are peaked, this has all been measured and mapped out. When they get very close to peak, then naturally her body releases a brain chemical, which then raises her testosterone levels. And when she raises her testosterone levels, then she will feel desire to be penetrated because now she can make a baby. We need to catch a guy to do it, okay? So there's all the biology, it all fits together. But the difference between that cycle and a woman versus a female dog or animal or whatever is that a female cannot be interested in sex unless they're ovulating. What women can do is be interested in sex when they're not ovulating, as long as their lifestyle is creating enough estrogen to then naturally release testosterone. Now, testosterone is testosterone. It's very pleasurable. But what happens for women, just for fun, I'm going to share this. This is, you take it or leave it. This is what I've been talking about. This is all biology. It's very well tested and so forth. Now I'm going to, some things from Chinese philosophy. There's the ancient Chinese medical system of acupuncture. And what they know is that the clitoris stimulates the kidneys. Okay, this is the kidney meridian. So if you're having sex and you're just stimulating the kidneys, like you don't kiss enough, you're not touching the breasts, you're not sucking on the nipples, there's all these things that stimulate hormones. Pleasurable stimulation, if a woman is pleasured by it, produces huge amounts of oxytocin and estrogen. Once the estrogen oxytocin rise up, just like if she was starting to ovulate, then it's natural to have her testosterone go up. And that's where then it's appropriate to stimulate the clitoris. Now her testosterone's going up. Then now with the testosterone, she can swing back and increase higher levels of estrogen and become multi-orgasmic. That's the vaginal penetration. The stimulation, if you climax on the clitoris, then you've released your sex energy and there's nothing in your vagina. So there's many women, I've had to counsel them on this, teach them how to enjoy penetration. Some women, they feel nothing with penetration by a man, because they're addicted to the clitoris. The clitoris is a big dopamine stimulator, big testosterone stimulator, and it's there to increase her testosterone, but not to climax. Now, nobody writes about this. Okay, I'm talking about ancient Chinese knowledge and my own experience of having a multi-orgasmic partner, making sure that she doesn't climax all her sex energy off of the clitoris. She gets addicted to that. You know, there's an intensification, just like a man eating ice cream wants to keep eating ice cream or drink a beer. You want to keep drinking a beer. You stimulate her clitoris. She just wants more and more and more. Then she's done. Well, if she's done, then all of her sex energy, life force energy, stimulated the kidneys, according to acupuncture. So overstimulated kidneys, the vagina has different levels, different points that do the liver, do the heart, do the lungs. Your whole body gets regenerated by man's penis in a woman's vagina, and the man's penis also stimulating those areas get activate his organs. So in Asia, the secret of longevity was sex, okay, but the right kind of sex where we become multi-orgasmic. But here's the downfall, which is if you're a woman and you just do self-gratification, You got your little robot to stimulate your clitoris, or you even got a man to do it for you. That's better because you're going to get more estrogen, but still it's focusing on the clitoris. You overstimulate the kidneys, and what they say is that causes water retention. So water retention means a lot of fat on your butt and your thighs and your belly. You hold all this water in your body. And you can see certain people that I know and I've counseled who have those weight issues, they're addicted to masturbation. They're masturbating like a teenage boy because it's addictive. It produces dopamine. And the worst thing for testosterone for males is masturbation. Okay, this causes, just as the evidence, I got lots and lots of research on that, but we're finishing up. But the evidence on that is, let me grab one piece of it. There's just so much because the porn industry wants to say it doesn't affect your testosterone. Okay. Yet we see testosterone going down every year. And there's the group of boys who stop masturbating and they talk about how great they feel, how wonderful it feels to not be masturbating. I lucked out. I became a celibate monk. You know, my goal was to become enlightened and from 18 years old to 28 years old. And part of enlightenment, if you're studying Eastern philosophy, is celibacy. Okay, so you don't masturbate at all. You don't self-gratify. You find your fulfillment through raising your consciousness. So fortunately for me, but unfortunately for kids, and the United Nations has just released their new instructions for sexual education for children. And at third grade, it's appropriate to teach them. Your teacher is going to teach you how to masturbate as a form of self-love. No time in history has anybody looked at masturbation as a form of self-love. This is loss of life force. This is addiction. It's highly addictive. And then we have all these young guys, not all, because we have different body types and so forth. But you hear from the women, all these premature ejaculators, guys who ejaculate right away. You can't give her the full opening up of the vagina and all the levels that have to go if you're done in 6 minutes. You know, this needs to be a much bigger process. But if you're masturbating, then suddenly you're basically training your body to ejaculate rather than to provide fulfillment for a woman and to go higher and higher into that fulfillment. So this is a problem for males besides the inability to perform sex in a healthy way for both. You also have lower testosterone just from all this self-gratification. This is the opposite of masculinity. Masculinity is about achieving a goal to achieve something to help other people. It's always about how can I be helpful? Coming back to sales, you are a terrific salesman when you put yourself to the side. I want to provide the best service for this person. And if it's a woman particularly, I want to do little things that we talked about last time to ensure to her that she's important to me. Things like if she doesn't like what you've offered, just say, tell me more about that. Get her to talk. You listen to that. And what do you think? Would you like this? Would you like that? You see, you're not like a husband who gets frustrated when your wife says, let's go out to dinner. And he says, well, let's, okay, where do you want to go? She says, I don't know. Then the husband says, let's go to the Italian restaurant. And she says, no, not Italian. It's got this, it's got the cook change. And then a man gets frustrated. He shouldn't, okay? I've learned when my wife is hungry, she can't make a decision right away. Literally, when women are hungry, there's a blood sugar drop that's significantly different from a man's. We are biologically different. And she cannot make decisions when her blood sugar drops.
John, we're going to that point again where we're running out of time, my friend. And my whole thought here is like, let him cook. Let him cook. There's some nuggets here and I can't stop because I'm taking this all in. But I need to put you on a 60 seconds to give me the answer to one question I promised people at the start of the interview.
Yeah, I know you want that question about women and women. So what you get when a woman is selling to another woman, there is a certain advantage and a disadvantage, okay? So the same thing with a man is selling to a man. There's a certain advantage that we intuitively understand the way you think. See, there's an intuition, just our whole life experience. When two women are together, there's going to be more harmony. There's an intuitive understanding of what this person needs and wants, to the extent that you know as a woman what you need and want. And the same thing for a man, to the extent that you have self-awareness. And I'm pointing out today that a lot of self-awareness is missing today in both men and women. We don't really know who we are. And we shouldn't until we're at least 28. I mean, this has been the prefrontal cortex, which has the ability to self-reflect and know who you are, doesn't even develop until you're 28 years old. But the dynamic of male to male is going to be a greater sense of understanding where that person's coming from. For women to women, there's a greater harmony of understanding where they're coming from. So there's good sales. But the advantage is that when I'm with a woman, I can provide for her knowing what was most important to her, something that she needs that most men don't know. And that opens a doorway for her. And the same thing for women. If a woman treats a man in a way that his wife doesn't treat him, and I don't mean sexually, but I just mean appreciative, what a good idea, that's very helpful. If she can provide that kind of support for a man, he's going to be more likely to buy for her. As simple as that. We're human beings. We all need love. And if you understand with a man and you're a woman, because see, by nature, men are competitive with each other, and whether women admit it or not, they're very competitive with each other. Okay, so there's this sense of competition with women and men with men. But the sexes don't have to be competitive, okay? It's I could provide something for this woman that most men never give to her. So she's going to go, this is a guy I can trust. And the same thing, a woman being happy and fulfilled, appreciative, and listening to what I have to say as a man and thinking, well, that's brilliant. I think we can provide that. And I can do this for you. Remember, I said this one, it's so good. I can do this for you. And I love doing it. See, a man with a happy woman goes, I want somebody who loves doing stuff for me. So just this greater awareness is understand how to provide the loving support someone needs and they trust you more and you want to do business together.
Dr. John Gray, always a fantastic conversation. I know we're wrapping up on the hour. I just want to say, first of all, we definitely have our Selling with Love After Hours episode here. We're going to put a not safe for work little label on it because honestly, we went into so many different topics and it's everything that we missed out on the first episode. I'm so, so grateful that we had an additional time together. And for everybody listening in, yeah, we went a little outside our usual sales conversation, but honestly, these are things I'm excited about, I'm interested in, and I hope you are too. If you're listening to this on YouTube, I'd love to see in the comments, how do you like these conversations where we're talking more about relationships, life that is going beyond just the sales universe, because I'm personally very passionate about this. And the fact that I have someone like Dr. John Gray with me today, who is an expert in the field, just gets us to have a little bit of more understanding of ourselves, of each other, which ultimately makes us function more as a society, which makes me very, very happy. John, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. And with that, for everybody tuning in, go out there with this new knowledge and go sell with love. Professionally, maybe even personally as well. I am your host, Jason Mark Campbell, and this is the Selling with Love podcast.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.